Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. It's Thursday, October 23rd. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. We are now in the second longest federal government shutdown in U.S. history, and there seems to be no deal in sight to get it back open.
Over the last 3 weeks, there has been 12 opportunities for Senate Democrats to end cloture, to get 60 votes, to reopen the government.
We talk with a Republican representative who's pushing to get his Democratic colleagues to come to a deal. But first, these news headlines. Governor Gavin Newsom's administration started warning counties this week that CalFresh benefits could be delayed as soon as November due to the federal government shutdown. CalFresh is California's program for distributing federal SNAP benefits, sometimes referred to as food stamps. Stacia Levenfeld heads the California Association of Food Banks. She says food banks are expecting an increased demand if CalFresh benefits are delayed and will need additional donations.
Highly nutritious shelf-stable proteins are always a good donation, like peanut butter, tuna, canned chicken. Those make great, easy-to-distribute, highly nutritious foods for our communities. But really, the most impactful donation someone could make is donation of money. Food banks are able to purchase food for pennies on the dollar.
The benefits delay could impact 5.5 million Californians who use CalFresh to purchase food. California also plans to deploy the National Guard to support food banks as federal food assistance faces potential delays next month. Food banks are among the programs supporting Americans that will likely face disruption to federal assistance programs next month if the government doesn't reopen. The deployment to assist food banks is in sharp contrast to President Trump's use of the troops. Earlier this year, he deployed the forces to guard federal buildings and immigration agents. And locally, Fresno County supervisors are also sounding the alarm on the ongoing federal shutdown. Residents who rely on food stamp benefits are being notified of the potential disruptions. Supervisors say nearly 250,000 county residents rely on food assistance known as CalFresh or SNAP. The county's Department of Social Services estimates nearly $46 million could be lost next month if the assistance funds are not replenished. The University of California campus in Merced is celebrating 20 years since opening. As KVPR's Rachel Livenall reports, university officials said at an event on Wednesday that the campus is positively impacting the region.
Officials in the community got a chance to look back at UC Merced's progress over time at an event held Wednesday. Chancellor Juan Sanchez-Munoz said the university has led to more than 8,000 jobs, and almost half of new students this year are from the Central Valley. The university is focused on partnerships with Valley schools to make local admissions more accessible. More than 9,000 students are enrolled overall at the campus, which is the only UC in the Valley and the youngest. In recent years, it has also risen in national collegiate rankings. For KVPR News, I'm Rachel Livenall.
Former Florida Republican Congressman Matt Gaetz visited the Valley on Wednesday. He joined Republicans in Merced in a rally against Proposition 50. The so-called Rally to Save California was held at the Merced Senior Community Center. Gaetz is one of the highest-profile supporters of President Trump's Make America Great Again movement. He was considered for attorney general earlier this year before controversy derailed his nomination. He appeared at the rally alongside a candidate looking to take on Democrat Congressman Adam Gray for California's U.S. House District 13.
You're driving through the neighborhood one day, and there, in your neighbor's driveway, sits a metal mess of spider webs the likes of which you've never seen. It's a KVPR car. Tell your neighbors, your family, and your friends if they've got a car they no longer need, donate it. KVPR can turn that unwanted car into great radio. It's a super easy and totally free process. Visit kvpr.org/cars to learn more.
And now to our main story. The federal government has been shut down for more than 3 weeks now. It is the second longest shutdown in history, surpassed only by the 2018 shutdown under President Trump's first term. As we watch Congress try to get the government back open, I've spoken with several congressional leaders in recent weeks, including Valley Republican Representative Tom McClintock and Democrat Jim Costa. We also caught up with Democratic Senator Adam Schiff about all of this. And it is safe to say there is major disagreement across political divides about how to get the government back on track. Today, we're bringing you a conversation with another of our representatives here in the Valley, Republican Congressman Vince Fong. He represents California's 20th district, which includes Kern, Kings, Tulare, and Fresno County. Fong is in his first term in Congress and was elected last year when Representative Kevin McCarthy resigned. Fong is from Bakersfield and actually worked as McCarthy's district director for many years before serving in the state assembly. I start our conversation by asking Congressman Fong how close he thinks Congress is to making a deal to open the government.
Well, I wish I my crystal ball went that far. My hope is that cooler heads will prevail and that Senator Schumer will be the adult in the room in the Senate. You know, this is one of those situations and crises that we're facing that's self-inflicted. This shutdown was completely avoidable. You know, on September 19th, what the Appropriations Committee members in the Senate, Republican, Democrat, but especially the Democrats, asking, what do you need to finalize and finish a long-term funding framework to keep the government funded and open and get all these appropriations bills done? What do you need? And they asked for a clean, bipartisan continuing resolution to keep the funding where it is till November 21st, gives them enough time to negotiate and finalize an agreement. And that's what the House of Representatives provided, a clean continuing resolution with no gimmicks, you know, no strings attached. It was virtually identical to the same stopgap legislation that the Senate Democrats helped pass in March. It was the same version that was voted on by the Senate Democrats in December. So this is something that clearly is driven by Senator Schumer, because what's changed? What has changed over the last 13 times we've approached this deadline? You know, this probably is the first shutdown where a continuing resolution exists. There is a path to reopen the government tonight. It just takes Senator Schumer to be an adult and allow his, if not him, allow his members in on the Democratic side of the aisle, let them vote to reopen the government.
A couple things I want to touch on there. But firstly, you know, the continuing resolution would only keep things as they are until November 21st. And that's already less than a month away. So do you still think that the continuing resolution is the solution right now?
It is the only solution, because it's been the same solution in the past. Now, clearly, we're running up against another deadline, and you know, maybe we'll have to reevaluate that. But again, this is self-inflicted. The Senate has voted over 12 times in the last 3 weeks. This is not like somehow this we didn't come to this realization today. Over the last 3 weeks, there has been 12 opportunities for the Senate Democrats to end cloture, to get 60 votes, to reopen the government. And so this is the most frustrating thing, is that the only reason, and you talk to Democrats, I'm in DC right now, I'm imploring my colleagues in the Senate and as well as working with the staff to reopen the government tonight.
Yeah.
And they won't do it because they are afraid and placating the liberal progressive base of the Democratic Party. That is the reason why we're in this mess, is because Senator Schumer won't buck his own base on behalf. We have to govern for all of Americans.
It's so interesting.
That's what we're elected to do. We're elected to govern.
Yeah, I've heard the same remark from folks who say Republicans, that they're afraid of President Trump, and that they won't come to the table. So people are calling it the Schumer shutdown. Other folks are saying, no, the Republicans are afraid of Trump. So it's kind of a lot of finger pointing.
The House voted bipartisan. We sent a bill that they asked for. The Senate Democrats asked for a clean resolution. That's what we gave them. It requires 60 votes. Mm-hmm. And don't take my word for it. Go back in history. Senator Schumer in March. Senator Schumer in December. Senator Schumer over 13 times said government shutdowns are not the way to govern. That they're terrible, that they have real consequences to the American people. And so if you don't believe me, take the words of Senator Schumer.
You know,
take the words of AOC, take the words of Tim Kaine, take the words of every single Democrat that has in the past rejected this hostage taking that is occurring. What has changed over the past 10 years when everyone has been critical of shutdowns? What has changed until now? The only thing that's changed is that the Senate Democrats don't like the president.
I think, you know, my reasoning for bringing up kind of commentary on both sides is to illustrate the finger pointing that's happening. And I'm not sure that that's advancing the needs of the American people.
But there's finger pointing on both sides. But what's the truth?
Well, let me ask you.
The truth is that Senator Schumer is holding everything up. How many votes does it take to vote to end cloture and to get a bill passed in the Senate? It takes 60 votes. So we need 8 Democrats to vote. And look at the historical precedents. It's been done before. Again, as I said before, this is the first government shutdown that has occurred with a continuing resolution passed and in place. First time. And the consequences are real. California is going to lose $2.1 billion each week. It's lost $9 billion in GDP. We've got vulnerable families that through WIC and SNAP that aren't getting their benefits on time. You've got military families. You've got law enforcement. You've got Coast Guard members. You go through the list of families that are impacted by the shutdown. This is not an academic conversation. Senator Schumer has said in the past, you can't hold the government hostage with a shutdown. And we agree with them, except for he's doing the very thing that he has criticized in the past.
Let's get a little specific here, because so much of this dispute is about healthcare. And I thought we could zoom in a little bit, because even though most Republicans say they don't support extending these healthcare tax credits that have been a big point of contention. At the same time, President Trump will soon be launching Trump RX, which the goal is to connect people with cheaper prescriptions. And here in our Democratic-leaning state of California, we actually have something similar called CalRX. And I can see the argument being made that this shows that people on both sides of the aisle are concerned with healthcare affordability. Isn't that some sort of common ground between the parties in some way? Or is this...
We don't disagree. We should be negotiating and talking about making changes to healthcare to make it more affordable and accessible to everybody. We should do it with the government open. No one disputes the fact that we should be trying to tackle the affordability crisis when it comes to not only healthcare, but energy, when it comes to housing. There's an infinite number of challenges that we can be talking about, and we can do all of it at the same time.
But people are disputing.
Senator Schumer is saying we can't do anything because he's using his leverage to keep the government open. And he's using it to try to force a conversation on everything else. And again, Senator Schumer has criticized this tactic before.
Sure, but there's also a lot of criticism that, you know, the Republicans are putting out a message that extending these healthcare tax credits would fund people in the country without legal status, which isn't true. And that's
true. It's really true.
To a fractional degree, specifically for emergency services.
Have you read the
And I
Democratic-
spoke with your colleague, Tom McClintock, who also was critical of that. But I want this to be a productive conversation. So I want to know, because you have written that you think Democrats have partisan demands. What specifically is partisan that they're pushing for that you don't agree with?
They want to add $1.5 trillion in new spending. They want to eliminate the rural health care fund that we put into the reconciliation package. They want to undo the guardrails that were done in the reconciliation package. I mean, there are things that they're trying to take away that are now in place. So all of that being said, look, we should have that conversation. We're a deliberative body. Congress is designed to have arguments and discussions of both sides. We want to have that debate. Nothing stops that debate from happening. But if you want to, if Senator Schumer wants to shut the government down to only get what he wants, that's not quite a debate, is it? That's not a negotiation. That's hostage taking.
You know, I'm more thinking as well, I don't want this to be too much inside baseball for everyday folks who are sitting here saying, wait a second, my health care tax premiums could skyrocket and I don't know what's going to happen and the government's shut down. I mean, even this past weekend, there was a protest in your district for the No Kings protest where people are worried about some of the authoritarian actions by the president. And we even recently had an event here at the station, and a listener later expressed to me that they're concerned that members of the Republican Party in Congress are not doing enough to push back against what many view as President Trump's power grab. So there's a whole piece there as well with the president that we haven't really touched on. But what do you say to people who feel like the president is stepping outside the bounds of his authority and who are critical of Republicans who feel that they're just taking direction from the president?
We want to have that negotiation. I mean, look, how does a bill become a law, right? You and I can have this conversation. It has to pass the House, it has to pass the Senate, and it has to be signed by the president. I mean, the ultimate irony in this situation when people talk about the No Kings protest, if President Trump was a king, we wouldn't have a shutdown. He'd reopen the government. But we're in a shutdown right now because we can't get a bill through the Senate because the minority party is holding everything up to try to extract things that they want. So again, if we're having an honest and transparent negotiation, then let's have a negotiation. But if you're going to somehow hold the entire federal government hostage with the real consequences you've outlined, right? The COVID healthcare subsidies, they were designed to expire. And so we are now trying. And so that deadline is there, and the Democrats want to extend it permanently, and with severe costs and implications to the insurance market, not only in California but across the country. We can have a debate. Should someone who makes $500,000, should they get the same assistance as a family that's in poverty? I think most people would say probably not. Should we be talking about expanding rural healthcare access even more than what we did? Absolutely. Should we be addressing the nursing shortage and the shortage of doctors in the Central Valley and throughout rural America? Absolutely. Should we be providing incentives for that? Should we look at ways to find more cures and to modernize our FDA system? These are all things that we should be debating in the healthcare space.
Congressman Vince Fong, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
And just a point of clarification, people in the country without legal status are entitled to emergency care, but do not receive federally funded health insurance, such as Medicare. And that is today's show. Have feedback for Central Valley Daily, or maybe a story idea? We would love to hear from you. Email podcast@kvpr.org. Today's episode was produced by Jonathan Linden and KVPR with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. You can find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
Sources and methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.